Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 9. As we've been going through this series and going through the book of Luke, what we're doing is we're focusing on Jesus Christ and we're seeing how he works and how he treats others and how he responds to others. And in this story this morning, we're going to see some important things. And the main point this morning, or the title of the message, is how Christ's love works. How Christ's love works. We're going to see that the compassion that he has and the love he has for others. And we're going to learn a little bit about that with our upcoming Friend Day and the idea that there is a remedy. There is a remedy, and that remedy is Jesus Christ. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the issue is, Jesus Christ is the answer. But we need to understand a little bit more about him and how his love works and how that's the type of love we should be willing to demonstrate to those that are around us and to a lost and dying world. Here in Luke chapter number 9, we're going to see at the beginning that his love works for everyone. And how Christ is going to take these 12 disciples he's been working with and he's been training and they've been following around. They see how he's been teaching others. They see how he's been healing others. They see how, and what he does, he gets these 12 out and he sends these 12 out. He gives them his power, also gives him his spirit, and he sends them out to the different areas. And then they're going to come back, and they come back, they're tired, they've worked hard, and Jesus says, hey, let's go to a desert place. And then after that, you're going to see there's a large group of people that follow them. Even though they were going to a large desert place to get some rest, the group still followed them, and there was a ton of people that needed help there, and Jesus sees them as individuals. Disciples say, Lord, let's just send them away. Let's send them home. But Jesus says, you know, we need to take care of them. And even though sometimes it's not convenient, and even though sometimes it's not in our schedule, if we're going to have the type of love that Christ has for this world, we're going to have this type of love that wants to help others no matter what time of day or how it is convenient or inconvenient for us. So let's look here about how Christ's love works. And the first point is, his love works for everyone. His love works for everyone. Look what it says in chapter number 9, verses 1 through 6. The Word of God says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So he gave them the ability and the authority to heal and to cure and to work with the devil. So, you know, cast the demons out. Now, you say, well, Pastor, that's what they do at some churches around town. Well, in all reality, we believe that God is still able to heal and God is able to do any and everything he wants. But during this time, during this apostolic age, God gave certain individuals the ability to do these things. With the passing of the apostles, we see that those gifts and those signs also went away with that too. We can talk a little bit more about that if you had questions about that. But we believe that God gave certain ones as a sign to show them that they were from God and how the work they did. Many times the apostles and disciples and the deacons from the first century church would go into other areas that had never heard the gospel, and he would allow them to heal people to show glory, not for themselves, but the God that they're teaching and preaching. Let's look here what it says in verse number 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So I want you to see here, God gives them power in verse number 1. Verse number 2, he gives them a message. It's the same thing as us as believers and Christians too. He has given us power. If we're a Christian and believer, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us and we can be filled with the Spirit of God. He gives us ability and the power to preach and teach his word. And it says to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse number 3, he gives them some instructions. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have the 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Other parts of the Bible, it talks about when they came back from this and another time when they had the opportunity to teach and to preach and had the ability to do some miracles like this, they came back and they were excited. Can you imagine these 12 coming back to Jesus? And at one point in time, it says, even the devils have subjection over the devils. And they're excited. They come back to Jesus, and it says that in verse number six, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Drop down to verse number 10. And the apostles, when they return, what did they return from? They returned from what talked down in verse number 6. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. They're excited about God, how God worked through them, how God used them. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethesda. So we see here that Jesus, he tells them, and even in the scripture, he even says how he tells them, let's go to another spot and rest. They were tired from the many, many days and the work that they had done. Verse number 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him. So they heard that Jesus was going and where he was heading to, and they saw where he was going ahead, and there was a great multitude. You say, well, how do you know it's a multitude? Well, you can see in a minute. And he received them. So they still followed him. They could have turned him away. He could have said, hey, I'm closing up shop for a day. You need to go away. But no, it says, and he received them, showing that he wants them there. And what does he do? And spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, so not only did he just spend the day with them, it's getting later on in the night. Then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away. Jesus, it's time. We're supposed to be here. We've worked hard. We're tired from our journey. It's time. It's getting late. We need to just send everybody home so we can rest and so we can take care of getting what we need for the evening. And he says that they may go into the towns and the country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. There's no way we have anything here to provide what they need. Verse 13, but he said unto them, give ye them to eat. He says to them, look, don't send them away. You just give them something to eat. Look at their response. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. They says, we don't have enough. What we have here is nothing more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And if you look at the other accounts found in the other gospels, we know it's a lad that's willingly offering his lunch. Verse number 14, for they were about 5,000 men. So you have 5,000 men that are there. So I think it's reasonable to assume that some of them would have had their wives there and some of them would have kids there. So somewhere probably between 15 and 20,000 people are there. But we'll stick with the 5,000 that's mentioned. And he said to the disciples, make them all sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves. And this is one of the greatest miracles of all the Bible. Consider this. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up into heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples and set it before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remain to them 12 baskets. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dearly Father, Lord, we are thankful to be here today. Thankful to have your word. Lord, thankful to have your spirit to help teach us and train us and show us the things we need to learn. Lord, I pray that you give me the words to say and, Lord, the words you once said this morning. And Lord, I pray it speaks to people's hearts. Lord, I pray they look past the messenger and look at this message. We see how you love others and how Christ's love and how it works. And Lord, that we would understand that and that we would understand and be burdened to love others the way that Christ does. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see is already mentioned, his love works for everyone. Now, when Jesus called these 12 disciples, his purpose wasn't to just take them and have these 12 men walk around with him for those 3 to 3.5 years and just have these guys minister to him, have these guys just watch him and learn and just keep it to themselves. No, he's training them and he's teaching them and he wants to send them out so that way others can know about the truth and that others can understand what the gospel is and what others can understand what salvation is. So you see in verses 1 through 6, he enables them by giving them power, but also he enables them by giving them a message. And what I'm trying to correlate this morning in the story that his love works for everyone is because of the fact he has enabled us as Christians with power and with the Spirit of God, but he also has given us a message, but it isn't to keep to ourselves. He sends us out also to do that. You think about what it says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what that covers? It covers everybody. It covers everything. It talks about our home location. It talks about those that are nearby. It talks about our country. And it talks about into areas that we would not want to go, to the uttermost parts of the earth. He also goes as far as saying Mark 16, 15, not just the location is important, but each person is important. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there gives us the idea that where we're supposed to go and how his love works for everyone. You think about it. The Bible has the intention of the love of God has been shed abroad to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The intention is for the message to get out. The intention for the love of Christ is it works for everyone, and every person you meet, every person you see is someone that needs the love of God. Think about what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So as we're considering that Jesus Christ is the remedy for everyone's problem, we must remember that the love of Christ works for everyone. It is something that is extended to everyone. There is not a wrong person you can give the gospel to. There is not someone that you say, hey, that person does not need the gospel. There may be a wrong way to do it. There may be wrong times to do it. But the love of Christ is extended to everyone. Think about what it says in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That's referring when he came to this world. He was made lower than the angels. Suffering of death, that's referring to the fact when he died on the cross for our sins. Crowned with glory and honor, which is when he conquered death, sin, and the grave, is in heaven today. That he, by the grace of God, now listen to this phrase, should taste death for every man. He tasted death for every man, for all mankind. So Christian, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that his love works for everyone. There is not someone that we should not try to reach out to. The second thing, not only am I speaking to Christians, but I'm speaking to people in the room that might not know Christ, that might not understand the love of Christ and how Christ's love works. And that love is something that is extended to you. It doesn't matter of who you say, well, which ones are you talking to? It doesn't matter how young, how old. It doesn't matter what gender, what race. It doesn't matter how much money or money you don't have in the bank account or how much money you have in the bank account. All those things are important, that the love of Christ is for you. Jesus Christ saw that we had a need and a need of a Savior, and he came to this world to die for the sins of mankind so we could be saved and on the way to heaven. Did he do that because we are good people? No, he did that because he loved us. So the first thing I want you to see is his love works for everyone. And you see in this story, he sends these people out, these 12 disciples. They depart. They went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And this was his intention for us. He did not save you to sit still and not tell everybody else. He has enabled you, he has given you power, and he has given you his spirit, and this is the power and a message to take to the world. The disciples listen. And in verse number 10, they return. Second thing I want you to see is his love works abundantly. His love works abundantly. When I'm reading through this story and I'm looking at this, and I can only imagine disciples, they're probably tired, they're worn out. And I know that when people are working, especially when there's a journey and things going on, they come back, they're worn out, they're tired, they're excited, they're telling. It reminds me a little bit when we go to teen camp. You know, they're excited when they come back after a long trip. They want to tell their parents, they want to tell everything that's going on, but they are exhausted. And so what do you do next? Well, Jesus looks to them and says, look, let's go somewhere and let's go rest for a little while. And he even says in Mark 6:31, says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. It comes to the point, he says, they were so busy, they didn't even have enough time to take the nourishment they needed. And Jesus says, okay, let's go. Can you imagine being there? You'd be like, that sounds good. Let's just go spend some time with the Savior. Let's go spend some time with the Messiah. Let's just spend some time together, telling him all those things. He can teach us some new things. That would be wonderful. So they go over there. But it says in verse number 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them. See, even though they may have been tired, even though they may have been unwilling, you see, Jesus' love it goes farther than our feelings. It's not bound by our circumstances. It's not bound by our feelings. His love works according to our need. I'm glad this morning that God doesn't just help us when he feels like it. You think about it. If God was willing to help us only when he felt like it, he might be like, oh, today's not a good day. No sense praying. No, God helps us according to our need. These people had a need. The disciples looked at him and says, man, look at all this crowd. Look at all those people. Man, this is going to be a lot of work. This is going to be a pain. Jesus looks at them as individuals. He even says in the Bible that when he saw them, he had compassion of them. It says in Matthew 6:34, talking about the story, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The disciples saw them as crowds. Jesus says, they're people. Jesus' love comes across and says, my love works according to their need. It wasn't according to his desires. It wasn't according to his plans. It wasn't according to what he wanted. Jesus said to him, hey, let's go apart. Let's go to a desert place. Let's take a rest for a while. And that was a plan for them. And Jesus knew that people were going to come. Jesus was teaching the disciples something as he was teaching the others, that Christ's love works abundantly. Even when there is times when it's difficult, even when it's times when it's not convenient, even when it's times when it's not really something we feel like doing. Jesus says, my love works according to their need. They had a need. He views them as sheep in need of a shepherd. He views them as just people wandering and in need of something. And Jesus is willing to reach out to them. See, some people's love only works when it's convenient for them. If they have a spare minute, if they have a spare dollar, then they get involved. It reminds me of a sermon illustration. It talks about a lady who wrote a letter. She writes, Dear Johnny, she says, my heart was broken since I broke off her engagement. Would you please take me back? Please. I love you so much. I love you. I love you. Signed, Julie. It says, P.S., congratulations on winning the lottery. You know, you ever had a friend like that? Someone that wanted to show you love and friendship when it only benefited them? See, that's not the way to love Jesus works. That's not the way how Christ's love works. It's extended to everyone. It's not bound by our circumstances. It's not bound by our feelings. It's not even bound by our lack of supplies. Well, you think about it. He received them. Jesus cares about the need. He cares about it all the time. And disciples come and says, look, Jesus, it's been great. We've had all these people here. You've ministered. There's a huge crowd here. You've done your job. We've worked hard all day. You know, there's been people coming and going. You've been healing people. You've been teaching. It's all done now. Just send them home, please. And disciples are like, please, let them go. It's what's best for them. They need to go find a place to stay. They need to go find food to eat. We don't have anything here. But the great thing is Christ's love works despite our supplies or lack of supplies. I'm glad that no man sets God's agenda. You ever seen a guy's club and where it says, or in a boy's, I've been in some houses where on the boy's bedroom door it says, no girls allowed. You ever seen that? I've seen that before on TV, even seen it at people's houses before. No girls allowed. And I'm thankful those guys, they don't set God's agenda for them. What do you mean? I'm thankful that they're not God. Because God's willing to offer to everybody. The disciples are like, okay, Lord, we're tired. Let's just get rid of them. They don't set God's agenda. Christ's love works when we have a need. No matter the time or the situation, it is someone who still cares. John chapter 6, talking about the same story. There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Andrew was the one that brought him. Jesus was trying to teach Philip something. He says, give ye something to eat. And if I remember correctly, Philip is even from this area. Philip knows this spot. Philip knows that there's no orchards around. There's no fields around. That there's no food. There's nothing necessary. Nothing ability to be able to take care of this many people. And Jesus looks at him and says, you give him something to eat. He says, we can't. Andrew brings up that little lad, and I like the story of Andrew in the Bible. And he says, look, there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? See, Christ's love is intended for everyone, but it's abundant. It's always abounding, even despite our feelings, even despite our lack of supplies. When we look at what we have and we say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person in a voice that is in a world that is full of corruptness. I'm just one person in a world that doesn't seem like they want Christ and are rejecting God. What can I do? See, his love still works even despite our lack of supplies. You know, those 5 loaves and 2 fishes became what? Enough to feed over 5,000 people. That's an exciting thought, because when we look at this world and we hear the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, we're like, Lord, come on, there's not much here. I'm just one guy. I just have one mouth. I just have 2 ears and 2 eyes. What can I do? And he's teaching the disciples here something. He's teaching them something we need to learn, that Christ's love is always abundant, even despite our feelings, Lord, send them away, and despite our lack of supplies. Lord, we don't have enough, we can't do this. But his love is meant for everyone. He can take what we have, and he can take what we are willing to give and what we're willing to do and do something miraculous with it. And he wants to teach the disciples that. He's getting ready to die in about a year, probably a year and a half at this point in time. He's getting ready to leave, and he's going to leave the disciples to try to reach the world for Christ, to try to win people and have new converts and disciple them. And that's what the whole book of Acts is about. But he's teaching them that, yes, you may not have enough, but my love is enough to abound and abundantly be above all that you ask or all that you need. Have faith in it. I want you to understand today that the way that Christ's love works, it's intended for everyone. And it is abundant. Despite our feelings and despite our lack of resources, God shows us here in his word that he is able to meet the needs of any person you bring to him. You say, Pastor, you don't know my needs. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. There's Bible character after Bible character. We looked at Mary Magdalene, 7 demons. We've talked about Paul, who used to kill Christians. It doesn't matter what you've done. Christ paid for that debt on the cross. It's whether or not you believe in him, whether or not you're willing to put your trust and faith in him. Third thing I want you to see is, not only is Christ's love for everyone and Christ's love works abundantly, but his love works eternally. His love works eternally. You say, well, this is a really cool story. You know, it would have been cool to be there. 15,000 people got fed and there was plenty of leftovers, blah, blah, blah. But see, his love works eternally. It's not just about feeding one person one night and giving them a meal. It's about introducing them to the Messiah, the one who can truly change lives forever. In John chapter 2, verse number 11, it gives an idea why the miracles and why Jesus performed these miracles. It says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Now listen, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The reason why Jesus did these miracles is so that people would see who he was and would manifest his glory as the Son of God, God himself that came to this world, and let the world know that he was the Messiah, that he was the chosen one, that he was the Son of God, God that came and took on flesh for us. That's why he did the miracles. This is why. It's not just so he can show his love abundantly while you're here on this earth, but so he can show his love abundantly eternally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It is an eternal love that he's demonstrating. If you'd like to, take your Bible to John chapter number 6. In John chapter number 6, you have this story about the feeding of the 5,000. But you also have towards the end, after the next day or a few days later, the people are coming to Jesus and asking Jesus for more bread. They're following after him because of the miracles they saw. They're following after him because they had met a physical need. Jesus begins teaching them a lesson that it's not about the bread you received the other day. It's about receiving the bread of life. It's about believing in who he is. And it says in John chapter number 6, you look in verses 33 through 35, it says, for the bread of life is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They were interested in having this bread. And he says in verse number 35, and Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So what the Bible is saying there is Jesus is telling them, forget about the bread that you ate the other day. Believe in the bread of life that came down from heaven as one of the names of Jesus, a representation and illustration of who Jesus Christ was. He was the bread of life that came from heaven. And if you believed in him and you trusted in him, it says that they shall never thirst and that they should never hunger, that it would meet a need in their life that was spiritual, that nothing else could meet that need. Look what it says in verse number 50. It goes and says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, you hear that. That would be great. Wouldn't it be great to eat one time and never have to eat again? You might be like, I like to eat. Well, I like to eat too. But imagine all the money you save on food. It's this idea here that he's saying, forget about the physical things. The miracles, they were not gimmicks. They were not shows to try to draw a crowd. He was saying, I wanted to go over here and I wanted to rest because that's what we need to do. But he was going to teach his disciples, hey, look, even when you're tired, even when our feelings are, look, I don't really want to help. I don't really want to be a part of it. We should still love because that's the way Christ loved. And even though we don't have the supplies and even though we don't have everything that we need to try to make a difference, we should still try to love because Christ, that's what Christ is teaching his disciples. These other people, they come and they press him for the multitude. And they turn around and they want more bread. They want them to take care of him. They want him to be the king so they can provide him bread so they wouldn't have to do anything. Everything would be great. Everything would be wonderful. And he says, you're missing it. You're trying to meet a physical need. What I am offering you is a spiritual need. The miracle manifests the glory of God so they could recognize him as someone who was sent from heaven. And he said to them, don't worry about the physical food. The bread I offer to you today is one where you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. It's because it's a spiritual need. See, that need is the fact that we're all sinners. Every person that ever lived and died, with the exclusion of Jesus Christ because he was virgin born, is someone who had a sin nature. And because of that sin, the wage of sin is death. But Christ saw our need. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, while we had that need that is referring to that the bread of life can only fulfill, Christ died for us. He died so we could have eternal life. He died so we could be in heaven with him someday. But the truth is, we must learn to accept and believe that. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that God have raised him from the dead. That, what does that mean? That you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried and rose again for your salvation, thou shalt be saved. It's putting your faith and trust in him alone, and believing in him and him alone. But the story here today is how Christ's love works. How does it work through us? He has given us his spirit. We can love that way. I know sometimes when we have a few minutes, we don't mind helping somebody. When we have a few dollars, we don't mind helping somebody. But this story shows and demonstrates it goes beyond that. Christ's love isn't when it's convenient for him. Christ is willing to love even when it's not convenient. I said it earlier, I am thankful I serve a God who does not only help me when it's convenient for him. You think about that. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Why would God only help us when it was convenient for him? God's willing to help us anytime. That's the point. That's what he's trying to teach his disciples here. It's not just when it's convenient. It's not when we always have enough supplies. The love of Christ works for everyone. It works abundantly. And it's working towards an eternal purpose. It's eternally that he's trying to accomplish here. And Christian, as we go out in this world this week, let us remember the love of Christ works for everyone. Those people we would like to talk to and those people we don't want to talk to. Those people who we love and enjoy spending the company and those people we ignore and try to stay away from. The love of Christ works for all those. But it's abundant. It's not based off of our feelings. It's not based off of the fact of that we have the supplies. It's working towards an eternal end. Sometimes I was thinking this week and meditating as working through the sermons. Sometimes when we get up to heaven, I wonder if we'll be disappointed in ourselves that we spent so much time on so many things that are not eternal. We've spent so much time on this and so much time on that and so much time here and so much time there, and they're not working towards things that are eternal. I know we have to work to make a living to provide for our families. The Bible talks about that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying different things. The Bible gives examples of that. But also, you see, Jesus is pointing these people later on in the chapter. They were interested in the physical. He says, no, don't worry as much about the physical as the eternal. Don't worry about the things of this world so much as that someday you will spend eternity in some spot. And his love is eternal. It lasts forever. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He loves you. It's a love that is intended for everyone. It's a love that he has sent us out to give to everyone. It's a love that is an abundant, that is there according to our need when we need it. And it's a love that should be eternally working. Let's focus on this month. Who can we do? What can we do to reach our world for Jesus Christ? If we truly believe he is a remedy, look at how his love works. Look at the way he loves others and ask God to give us a heart to love people that way. Ask God to give us a passion and a compassion. I tell you, when I go to the Walmart crowds and I see all these people, I'm like, man, look at all these people. This is annoying. Look at the parking lots filled. I'd be like the disciples. All these people are here. We've done enough. Just send them home. Send them away. Send them away. But you know what? Jesus says, you help them. I can't help them. Yes, you can. Let me show you how. And instead of looking at them as crowds of people that are annoying you, look at them as individuals that need Christ's love, that needs the love of Christ, and show them the love of Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.